Welcome back to Inside the Bar, Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. I'm Christy Barker, a career prosecutor from the Savannah, Georgia area. We are continuing our series on the murders of J.R. and Mary Crocker at the hands of their family. We ended the last episode in August 2018 with Mary calling out for Kim Wright from Mary's confinement in the pet carrier in the kitchen at Rosebud Place. We know at this point Mary is being starved, burned, and sexually abused by the adults in the house, and you may have gotten the sense of how much these adults took out their own self-loathing on this 13-year-old child. But the desolation of Mary's life is hard to fathom. She has seen her brother starve to death. JR's torture and confinement has shaped her sense of normality for at least the last 6 years, and we know her father, and now others, have been sexually abusing her since she was at least 5 years old. Did she have any hope? There are clues that she did. In interviews with the police, Ellen described Mary as defiant, while Kim, Candace, Mark, and Roy seemed to want to convey that she was stupid. Roy described how he would tell Mary that if she did what she was told, she wouldn't be beaten, and how Mark tried to persuade Mary to do things by saying he couldn't, quote unquote, be with someone who wouldn't listen. But here's the thing. Everything Mary was asked to do was a setup for failure. Eat the food with the disgusting things in it, and you dirty the kennel and get beaten. Have sex with Dad, and Candace gets jealous and get beaten. These were the kinds of choices facing this child. Nothing she could do was right. So defying the adults was the only expression of hope left to her. As you will hear, the Crockers, Wrights, and Roy Prater made it their mission to take all hope away from her in 2018. I mentioned Roy Prater in the last episode. Like Candace, Roy entered a plea of guilty to the charges and gave hours of interviews to the police. Roy gave a lot of specifics about Mary's life at Rosebud Place, some of which you've heard already. But as the summer of 2018 moved into the fall, the details he gave paint a very bleak picture. According to Roy, Mary began to be kept in the kennel full-time in July of 2018, when she learned how to escape from the kennel, some of which you heard about in the text messages between Kim and Candace in June of 2018. They put zip ties on the corners of the pet carrier she was being kept in, and then they put a lock on it. As I mentioned before, the pet carrier was still sitting in the kitchen with the zip ties on its corners and a padlock nearby when the police executed a search warrant on the home in December 2018. None of the other kennels had zip ties. There are photos on the phones showing Mary crouching outside this pet carrier. We'll discuss those more later. Roy also said that they stopped offering Mary food in August of 2018. While Mary survived until the end of October 2018, so she must have been getting something, the home dynamic suggests that only Kim, Candace, and Ellen were allowed to offer Mary food. Yet all of them knew she was starving. There are denials made, though, and I want to address some of them up front. Mark Wright claimed that he rarely stayed at Rosebud Place, that he worked and stayed with friends, yet his phone pinged at that residence on Rosebud Place the majority of days every month. Roy claimed to be not at the home much because he was an over-the-road trucker, but he lost his job in August of 2018 and was home thereafter. Ellen worked for Walmart and was sent out of state to help with hurricane cleanup twice in 2018. When he talked to police, he got the dates wrong. What shows in the phone is that he went out of state in August and then for a couple of weeks in September. But as you will hear, Ellen still directed some of Mary's discipline by text and phone or video call. At any rate, he was home by the end of September 2018. Candace started part-time work at Walmart in September 2018, but Kim Wright, she was home all day, every day, caring for the youngest child and controlling Mary. Every one of these people knew what was going on and had the chance to stop it, but instead chose to make things worse. So what was really happening? We'll turn again to Roy and Candace's statements, but these aren't chronological. They just simply have details that are hard to find elsewhere. Along with the punishments we have heard before, in this last stretch of Mary's life, she was beaten with an automotive fan belt. She was beaten with computer speaker wire. Specifically, the speaker wire came after Mary had been beaten with a belt, but wasn't reacting anymore. Changing to speaker wire was Mark Wright's idea, and we hear this from the youngest child. Because Mary wasn't screaming anymore, they wanted to make her hurt more. And Mark believed that using speaker wire would get a bigger reaction. And it did. Mary was being kept nude and locked within the kennel most of the day and sleeping there overnight. As she got more and more hunched over, she was taped to a swimming pool ladder. In an effort to reinforce her joints and make her stand, the fan belt caused some of the injuries that we'll talk about happening on Mary's back, things that didn't close. When Mary was dirty, it was part of Roy's job to wash her. He gave several statements about this, and we all know what was expected. Boiling hot water poured down her. But what Roy described, and he described this even in preparation for trial, was that he would take the kennel that she was in, with her still in it, put it in the shower, not open it up, but set it upright and just pour water on her, boiling water, so that she couldn't move. Sometimes it seemed like she was drowning. If she was ever out of the crate for a bath, she would just lay there. So she was usually bathed in the crate. When Elwin wasn't there, Mary was allowed out of the crate and could sleep on the floor, but she wouldn't stand and would only, quote unquote, huddle up, move a little, and would act like it was the worst thing in the world, which is why they decided to use the pool ladder. Apparently, Mary's inability to straighten up infuriated them. No one seemed to understand that they had caused this problem. Candace described some things too in this last period of time. She said that Mary's back was torn up for a month. She was shown pictures from the phones. Like I said, we'll talk about them more later. But the injuries to Mary's back in these photographs are horrific. Open, gaping wounds, multiple, all over her back and bottom. Candace said that Elwin had beaten Mary with a paddle, breaking the skin, but all of them had hit her during this period of time. Candace claimed that Mary would pick at her injuries and put feces in them, making them hard to heal. And in retrospect, Candace saw this as Mary making a cry for help. Kim and Elwin would put hot water, peroxide, and bleach in Mary's injuries to clean them. And the fan belt, it was being wielded by Kim. Kim even had the youngest child take out his frustrations on Mary and beat her with a metal mop handle. When Mary stopped reacting to punishments, Kim and Elwin came up with ways to make them worse. We know, however, that Candace was part of this too. In her statement, she admitted to hitting Mary so hard that her head banged against the wall. She also said that Roy hit Mary, something Roy wouldn't admit either. And according to Candace, in the week before her death, Roy hit Mary so hard in the head that Mary hit the floor and was out cold. We're going to talk more about those last days and how the family responded or didn't. It sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? There is just so much violence here, and these defendants are just so manipulative. How can we believe all of this happened in this house, or who did what? As I mentioned before, there's physical evidence. There are, of course, pictures of the pet carrier. The carrier itself and the tasers were retrieved from the house as part of search warrants. There was a pool ladder found in the yard with remnants of duct tape on it, but it sounded like literally anything and everything in that house could have been used as a weapon on Mary, right? I think this was all made up. The FM County Sheriff's Office understood the mission, though, and piles of items were recovered in search warrants of the home to be submitted for testing. Not everything was actually submitted, but a number of things were sent to the FBI crime lab. Of the things that the FBI lab was willing to test, there was a belt that was submitted that had blood on it. They confirmed that. The blood was DNA matched to Mary Crocker. On the same belt, a mixture of DNA was found on the belt buckle. It was a mixture of what is called touch DNA, consistent with three contributors. Of those known DNA contributors, which are all the adults in the house and Mary, and as a side note, JR's blood was too degraded to be tested, the most consistent combination on that belt buckle was Mary, Mark, and Kim. A second belt had no identifiable DNA on it. There were swabs from speaker wire that were submitted that had a mixture of DNA consistent with two contributors, Mary and Mark. Blood was found on the pet carrier that matched to Mary. On the latches of that pet carrier was a mixture of DNA from Mary and Ellen. Yes, the tasers were submitted, but there was no usable DNA. Duct tape from the pool ladder as well did not have usable DNA on it. But we know the statements that we have received are true. We need to talk about ginger root. You may be thinking, what on earth are you talking about? But even in the Crocker universe, some punishments were so sadistic that they stood out. One, devised by Mark Wright, involved putting a ginger root in Mary's anus. Now, we know other things were put in her rectum, mostly for sexual reasons, so it's easy to see that her body is already damaged there. We also know Mary experienced fecal incontinence, either from malnutrition or injury. So whether for sexual pleasure, or to plug up her rectum, or to cause her more pain, Mark Wright suggested to Kim and Candace that they shove a hard, knobby, acidic ginger root into Mary's anus. Roy was the first to mention it in a police interview the night the murders were discovered. When confronted about it, Candace, Kim, and Mark all tried to make it sound like the idea was just some joke that Mark had made, though Kim and Candace admitted to acting on this joke. Mark made continuous denials, claiming that they did something like that if that happened. He wasn't at home. But this is what Elwin has to say about it.
Who was it that called us? Who's he? Long hair guy that was sitting there?
Oh, you're talking about her son? The one that was in on it?
Oh. Well, then on what?
The whole thing.
Then on what whole thing?
He lives in that house. He's a pothead and a drug addict.
Well, what is he on?
He's the one that had his mother take ginger root and ram it up my daughter's ass.
What is it about?
Well, I don't know.
How did you find out about that?
Because she tried to do it again with me there, and I told her I didn't think that was good. She goes, that's Tony's punishment for her.
I didn't believe it.
What else would they do?
Ginger root.
What's the ginger root?
Yeah, what's that? What is
that? Oh, that's where you buy a ginger root?
Uh-huh.
Cut a piece off of it, and they literally rammed it up her ass.
Did you see this?
Yeah, I watched Kim do it.
And you let Kim stick something
I told her not to. It was a piece about that big, but I told her not to.
What did Mary do when she did it?
Train.
She trained.
So this father, who you have heard was so proud of being strong enough to dig the graves of his children, was unable to stop Kim Wright from shoving a ginger root in his screaming child? No. He was a driving force in this abuse. How do we know? It's time to go back to the phones, and especially to the text messages. We left off at the end of August in 2018. When the documentation picks up again in September, there are a number of things involving online schooling where Mary may or may not have attended. Sometimes she did, sometimes she didn't. But there's this text, September 17th of 2018, Kim to Candace. Are you ready to deal with Mary? Candace responds, I guess after I get up to go to the bathroom. Kim to Candace, it's getting late, and the youngest child will be home soon. Candace responds, I know. There is more interaction with the online school. Excuses being made about why Mary isn't attending classes. And then September 20th, 2018, Candace texts Elwyn. Remember, at this point, Elwyn is out of state. Candace tells Elwyn, your daughter is really pissing me off. And he responds, what is wrong now? Candace says, I'm doing everything I can to bring another income in the house, and I can't even go to bed until after midnight. She decided to shit everywhere. Not to mention I have to get up at 5 in the morning. I guess it's a good thing I have got the weekend off. Elwyn says, sorry. Candace responds, I'm pretty sure she'll find a way to ruin it. September 22nd, Kim texts Candace. Mary says she's so sorry. She wants a hug. Then Kim adds, those were her exact words. Thought you could use the laugh. Later that same day, Candace texts Elwyn, I can't wait for you to come home. I knew you hated me and didn't give a damn. Elwyn responds, what the hell ever. Candace says, you won't even talk to me. But Elwyn says, I will talk to you, but I'm in bed. I was watching a movie. Why does it want a video talk? The video keeps freezing up. And Candace says, because I want you to see how hurt I am. Elwyn then texts Candace, just come and get me right now. Candace says, I've been trying to handle and deal the best I can without you, but it's hard. Anyway, you can talk to her and make her listen. And what is Elwyn's response to Candace? Just finish her off. September 22nd, shortly after midnight, Roy Prater searches multi-purpose appliance lock. September 23rd, Kim texts Candace, did she go? Candace says, yes. Kim to Candace, bathroom clean? Candace responds, yes, ma'am. Kim says, y'all back in bed? Candace says, not yet. Kim to Candace, okay. Kim again, Nana took the youngest child potty. Candace says, I know because I sent him to the potty. Kim to Candace, what's Mary doing? Eating and drinking. Kim to Candace, eating what? And Candace says, the beans. Kim then says, I'm going back to bed. Later that same day, Candace texts Elwyn. Yeah, I meant to tell you, Mary says she misses you and thought you were coming home last night. Elwyn says, tell her she better straighten up. And Candace responds, she says, yes, ma'am. Mary's not attending her classes. All this is shown in the electronics. Candace searches on her phone, September 24th, 2018. What happens to your body if you stay in the same position? Why do my muscles hurt if I stay in the same position for too long? September 27th, Candace texts Elwyn. Good night, babe. I love you. I'm just getting to bed, thanks to Mary. I go in tomorrow at 11. September 29th, Kim to Candace. Just now getting done with Mary. This is 10:35 p.m. The youngest child looked up at me and said, I'm sorry my sissy is so disgusting. September 30th, a photo is sent from Elwyn's phone. This is one of the most horrific photographs of Mary and her injuries. It's hard to describe. Her back is very, very torn up. On the left side of her back is a gaping wound that is at least a couple of inches wide. There are lash marks all over the back of her body, her shoulders, her arms, her neck. There's bruising as well. It appears to be all over. And you can see people in the background, one of whom is Candace, who's just looking at this. When shown this photograph and asked who took it, Candace said it was Elwyn. Elwyn, of course, denied it. But you can see in the background as well that it's Kim and Roy. So either Elwyn or Mark took this photograph. There's a second photograph showing a close-up of gaping wounds on Mary's buttocks. Again, these appear to be at least an inch wide. not healed. There's also a photograph of her face, which when shown this photograph, I should note that this child is naked and you can see basically every bone in her body. But when Alan was shown this photograph, he said, oh, this was to show that she was healing. Same date. And I guess the only thing they're talking about healing is the black eye that she has on her left eye, which appears to be swollen shut. She has other bruising injuries, but that one seems to be in a healing stage. There's another photograph showing bruises on her chest. October 6th, Kim texts Candace, just washed Mary and Kennel. Mark Wright makes searches on his phone. Incest and fetish Tumblr. October 9th, the Crockers fail to attend a school meeting online. October 15th, Mark is searching again. Sodium pentothal, misspelled. He tries to spell again, sodium pentothal, in different configurations. And then sodium thiopental. Four searches in total. Kim texts Candace, has she done enough to earn anything? Or you just want me to put her up? October 16th. Kim to Candace. Make Mary sit up, no more laying down. Candace responds, yes, ma'am. And Kim says, thank you. Now think about this. This child is unable to straighten her body, but she's not allowed to lay down anymore. October 18th, 2018. Kim to Candace. Mary refuses to do anything. She says she doesn't have to because she doesn't want anything right now. This is their idea of carrot and stick, except there's just a stick. October 18th, Kim to Candace. Mary refuses to do anything. She says she doesn't have to. It's repeated. Kim also texts Candace. Roy and the youngest child are on the way to you. Please fix the wrap. I like no pickles. Add cheese. Roy has the card to pay. If Roy should say anything about Mary, stop him by saying, I can't talk about home at work. Obviously, there's been some discussion between Kim and Roy about the state of Mary's body, and Kim doesn't want anyone to know. October 18th, also, that afternoon, Kim texts Candace. She has made herself incapable of lifting her legs high. She did not put herself in a pet carrier. October 20th, 2018, Elwin to Kim after he receives a photograph of Mary crouched down in front of the pet carrier with the open door to the carrier. She's crouching on the floor. You can see her body is hunched like it would be inside the kennel. Ellen's response, tell her she better get the hell up. Kim does a close-up of Mary's feet. This, of course, is an obsession of Kim's that Mary's feet are dirty. What her expectations are when you keep a child in a kennel and don't let them bathe in any normal way other than burning them. It's hard to say. And it's hard to tell whether her feet are dirty or bruised. Kim responds to Elwin's, tell her she better get the hell up, with, I told her this is what she did. She says she doesn't want to and isn't going to. She said she isn't going to do anything until you get here. Again, there's that little bit of hope for Mary. But what's Elwin's response? Okay, this shit has to stop. She needs to stop her shit. And Kim gets upset. Snot and drool she's letting just drip to the floor. She keeps picking her knee and feet. Roy has even told her to get up and she refuses. And Ellen's response is, I am still waiting on Candace. They're both at work. And Mary's huddled in the fetal position in front of the pet carrier. Again, another photograph. October 21st, there's another photograph sent. Mary is standing partway up and very hunched over, bending at the waist. And her, you can see how arched her spine is with the complaint. This is all Mary has done since Ellen walked out the door. M texts Ellen. She says she isn't going to do anything until you get here. There is a photograph sent of the youngest child, who looks physically healthy and somewhat normal, in a swing outside. October 22nd, 2018. Ellen to Kim. As she did exercise or schoolwork, Kim's response, hell no, she has been total hell. And Kim says, I'm sorry. And again, we see a photograph of Mary huddled on the floor in the fetal position. October 23rd, 2018. Kim to Candace, I love you. I hope you have a wonderful day. Candace responds, thank you. Kim to Candace, Mary's instructions were that she was to get up with her father and do exercises. Later that day, Kim texts Candace, the doctor called in an antibiotic for the youngest child. And Kim then texts again, Mary's nasty, putting her snot on everything. She has the youngest child sick. The doctor wrote no school today or tomorrow. Think about this. They take the youngest child to the doctor, but this child with gaping wounds on her body is left huddled on the floor or in a kennel. Mary is, of course, not going to school online at this point and failing to attend. October 24th, 2018, Elwyn texts Candace. Apparently, Candace has left home or left the bedroom. Ellen says, turn around. What is Mary doing? Candace responds, have you decided whether you are going in or not? And this is probably work. Ellen says, I don't know. I might just kill her. Candace to Ellen, it really ain't worth it. And Ellen's response is, bull fucking shit. Candace says, I know it feels like it will solve the problem, but it won't. Ellen responds, this has been bullshit. Later that day, Ellen texts Candace. This is 11:08 p.m. Ellen says, I think she's been hit too many times in the head. Now she is full from a sweet potato. The online school gets a message that indicates that Mary has been very sick and unable to monitor the work. Very sick or very beaten. Roy Prater does searches on his phone. Again, this is October 24th. Yellow pill of death. Yellow pills that kill. There are four different searches like this. October 25th. Ellen to Candace. They are fussing again. Candace to Ellen. Mom and Roy. Ellen responds, yes. No, princess in the kennel. Candace to Ellen. That's what they are fussing about. Ellen then responds to Candace, I don't know. She said she was cold. This is about Mary. I said, I will get you a shirt and came back to this. And he sends a picture of what appears to be someone wrapped in a green and orange afghan on the floor. Candace responds to Ellen, she's very sneaky. Like saying she was cold is contrived in some way, that she didn't need a blanket. Ellen then responds to Candace, I wasn't happy last night. I was hoping to come get you last night. And then he adds, that way I could have gotten what I wanted. And then he says, how am I supposed to clean or do anything and watch Mary and not have her in the room, but put her in the kennel? Roy Prater does another search for the yellow pill of death, this time on October the 25th. October 27th, Candace to Kim. Ellen wants to know what to do with Mary. There are a bunch of other messages between Ellen and Kim. Ellen to Kim. She needs to listen, point blank. Kim to Ellen. She refuses. Ellen to Kim. I said she needs to get up and listen. Kim says she has been told to quit sitting on her feet, to sit up and to exercise by me, Tony, and Roy. She refuses in all caps. Ellen responds, if she doesn't, I will spank her when I get home. Think about this. There is no clear spot on her body that isn't covered in some kind of injury to spank this child. Kim to Ellen. She's been totally disrespectful to us all. Ellen responds, tell her I said she better straighten her damn act up now. And he adds, let her know I'm very pissed off at her and she will not like what will happen if she doesn't start doing what is asked of her. Again, a little bit later, tell her I said to get the hell up now. Kim responds, I told her she refused to do anything. She stayed laying down. Owen, clearly at work, I'm sorry, but nothing I can do about her from here. And Kim says, I know. I'm just keeping you informed. I want to pause there. We have reached Mary's last day. While there are numerous accounts of what actually is the last injury that killed Mary, one of them includes the youngest child saying that Kim hit Mary in the face, knocking her out. We have Candace claiming that Roy knocked Mary into the wall, although Candace did later say that Ellen killed her. There's no question that Ellen was involved. Roy said that Ellen took Mary outside, and when they came back in, Mary was really out of it. The only thing Kim ever said, prior to her wanting a plea offer, was that Ellen stomped and kicked Mary the day she died. But when she wanted a plea deal, Kim told prosecutors Ellen dragged Mary out of the trailer, letting her head hit every step on the way down, then slammed her head against a tree, which is what killed her. I want to note that those kind of head injuries aren't actually seen on the autopsy. There is a head injury, but nothing of the severity that Kim's describing. Kim also would never repeat this version of events. But you do need to listen one more time to what Elwin said about his daughter's death.
What happened to Mary?
She died.
When
I tried to bring her back.
When did she die? In October?
Yeah.
Where did she die at?
At the house.
The house we came from?
October 27th.
What did you do with her body?
Buried it.
Where?
In the woods.
Where at in the woods?
Right over there near the duck pen.
Near the duck pen?
Okay.
Is she under that concrete slab you poured?
No. I didn't pour a concrete slab.
Okay.
Well, I just mean on poor country.
Okay. All right. Can you show us where she's buried?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, tell me what happened.
I kept punishing her. She got one with
her. Mm-hmm.
When Kim asked her to speak to her, she refused. And then she would look at her like she was stupid.
Now, who is Kim?
My mother-in-law.
Okay.
We were always supposed to be there, my mom.
Okay.
And I feel like a failure starts with.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mary wouldn't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Mary kept getting up in the middle of the night and stealing. I mean, they tried everything. And this child would not respect my wife, would not respect me.
Mm-hmm. He was tough.
No.
A
dollar steak is tough.
A tough to deal with.
You know what I'm talking about. A dollar steak is tough.
But she was tough for you and your wife to deal with.
She was tough for everybody to deal with.
Tell me what happened on the day she died.
She kept falling and hitting her head on the floor. And I kept picking her up and trying to get her to walk. She refused to walk. She wouldn't walk no more.
Mm-hmm. You
did
look at
the man. I'm sorry because I don't want to fight you.
Well, you got to let this out, man.
I'm sorry, but it's hurting.
I understand.
No,
and
you don't. My dad is hurting.
You want to tell somebody. Tell me what happened.
I don't like teeth and stuff.
Tell me what happened to Mary.
Okay. That night, it was a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a Saturday. No, Saturday. She died something. It was Saturday that she started. I guess her body started shutting down because she had stole so much sugar and medicine that her body started shutting down. And I saw the light go at once. And I gave her a bath, and she died. And I brought her back And I had to stay up with her all night, that Saturday night. And we were trying to get her to walk.
We do.
Me and my mother-in-law tried to get her to walk so she could get her motors going. I mean, I've never, ever in my life seen a child so defiant.
Minimizing a bit, isn't he? Here's what's in the text messages. 3:42 p.m., October 27th. Kim sends a photograph to Candace, Ellen, and one other member. Actually, she sends two. One is Mary, huddled up on a bench in a blanket with her head down on a table. She raises her head, and you can see that her face is still badly injured. October 28th, Roy Prater searches signs of concussion, modern CPR. October 28th, 2018, 7:25 p.m., Elwin texts Candace, "I need your mother's help. ASAP. Candace responds, "I called mom's phone. Roy answered. I don't know if you were able to get mom before I was able to or not." Ellen responds, "There was a car driving very, very slowly just now past the house." Ellen continues, "I think it was a cop." Ellen does searches on his phone. How to bury a pet. This is 1:33 on October 29th. He then searches for trash bags, contractor bags. October 29th, 1:30 in the afternoon, Ellen texts Kim, "I'm almost done." Kim responds, "Cool, how deep?" Ellen says, "I'm knee deep so far." And Kim says, "Gotta go way deeper." Almost 2 o'clock, Ellen texts Kim, "At my hips now." Roy is still doing searches on his phone. How to bury a dog. The online school sends messages wanting to help Mary do her work, sending her a new passcode. November 13th of 2018, Candace texts Ellen, "Since we're going to concentrate mostly on the youngest child, we need to look for a two-bedroom and get rid of a lot of the stuff we don't need." Like a child, Candace continues to do Mary's work online. The online school reaches out to Candace November 26th, and they say they're going to withdraw her from school because she's not sure where the child needs to go to school. They say that they're moving with her aunt and uncle who's in the military because the client has been diagnosed with cancer. This is Candace's story to the online school. And the withdrawal form is submitted. It's worth noting that even after he was in jail, Ellen told inmates that Mary was still breathing when he buried her. He appeared to be proud of his actions and talked to at least one inmate about his plan to write a book or have a TV show made about him. Well, the cover-up, as you know, went on for months. The family argued over the stretch of time about whether Mark or Roy should have helped with the burial, but all of them went to Cheddar's for the youngest child's birthday just 2 days after Mary was buried. Candace kept doing Mary's online homework. And until the Crockers get into a fight about maybe moving out of Rosebud Place, which prompts Mark to decide to tell his aunt about Mary, the cover-up was going to continue. But then, in December of 2018, the investigation begins. Stay tuned.